You know what my best attribute is?
Keeping it real?
Other than I have tremendous feet. Like, maybe the best feet this country's ever seen.
What do you mean best feet? Like, you have no bunions or you have a good shuttle time?
No,
like,
no,
what
no. Sandals, like walking sandals, great feet, manicure. Okay, anyway, attribute is humility.
You are now listening to The Waggle, the official podcast of the Canadian Football League.
That's right. This is the Waggle Podcast. I am Donovan Bennett Jr.
I'm Dave Sanchez.
He is Davis Sanchez Sr. And boy, do we have some things to talk about this week. Is Shaq Evans the best in the game? Are the guys who are going to be leading teams into the big game, quarterbacks and coaches, going to be guys who are doing it for the first time? And who will be leading the Argos into the future? They will not be in the big game. They are eliminated from the playoffs this year. Where should we start? Well, first we should start by shouting out our friends at Sport Clips, because they're known for the Sport Clips MVP haircut, massaging shampoos, hot steam towels, sports on TV like hockey, baseball, basketball, which are all actually going right now, and football. Oh, and that's right, legendary haircuts. You can book your appointment online at sportclips.ca. Sportclips.ca.
You know what they call Sport Clips?
The spot? The hangout?
They're a partner of ours.
Okay. Yeah. That too.
I don't feel like you're a very good partner.
Because?
And I'm not talking about your wife partner, but to me and you. Because I used to be a part of that. I used to be able to talk about Sport Clips as well and be a part. But say, ever since you've come along here, you kind of just dominate all of the talk about our partners and everything. You just take it all over and you don't even include me. That's not a good partner. Like, Sport Clips is a good partner. You, Donovan Bennett, nah.
I do the reads so you don't have to. Like, I'm the offensive line making holes for you just to be able to talk off the dome. You want to do the reads?
When they hired you?
You want this ad document that I have to refer to, make sure it's up to date? You want all that? You want all that smoke? I did not think so. Can I have your Shaq Evans thoughts, please?
I appreciate you. You're a good team player.
Now, speaking of doing all the hard work, I will promo that we're going to talk to Shaq Evans later in the show. By we, I mean me. I'm going to talk to Shaq Evans. So you can talk about Shaq Evans right now. You've been on him for a while. You know who's also been a big fan of him? Himself.
Yep.
He has said, why don't we just allow him to talk? Shaq, let's go back in the archives. What do you think about your play?
Hey, I'm the best in the league. Easy.
So you heard it from the man himself. First he said he's the best receiver in the game. Now he's not even putting receiver on it. He's giving it some modality. He's just saying he's the best in the game. And so I've constantly been picking your brain about who could win MOP. To start, it was going to be the brothers Harris, Trevor and Andrew. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case anymore. So there's this vacancy. Shaq Evans have a shot.
Where are Shaq Evans' numbers, first of all?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because not only do I do the reads, I also do the research.
And yes, you do.
Receiving yards, Shaq Evans, 1,096.
Do you get paid more than me?
No,
because you should. If you don't, you should.
No, you do stuff on Instagram, and that's where all the money is. So says broadcasting insiders, from what I read. Shaq Evans, 1,096 yards. Makes him fifth in the league in terms of reception yards. TDs, he's got 5, which makes him tied for 7th with like 4 dudes. The guys ahead of him in receiving yards are Brian Burnham, Brandon Banks, Reggie B, and surprisingly, Braylon Addison.
I would put all 4 of those guys ahead of Shaq Evans in the MVP race.
Well, I mean, Braylon Addison is not in the MVP race. No disrespect, because all of his work has come against the Toronto Argonauts, and he's not the best receiver on his own team.
I got Speedy. I got Speedy. I got Burnham. Who else?
Well, it depends.
No, I just got Speedy and Burnham ahead of
Reggie?
Shaq. I'm not Reggie right now, just because of the last month he's been injured, and so right now he's cooled down. I did have him up there.
So receiving TDs, Banks has more. He's got 9. Burnham has more. He also has 9. Eric Rogers has 8. Braylon Addison has 7. Reggie has 7. Your boy Darrell Walker has 6. Shaq Evans, his plays, and so we call them splash plays.
Who's we?
Me and my friend. his plays are like, I can't remember when I've just seen him catch like a 5-yard speed out and run out of bounds.
Shaq?
Yes.
Yeah.
His plays leave an impression, right? But when you actually look at the numbers, well, there's a bunch of receivers who have been doing comparable, if not better, work. But some of the best highlights I've seen this year have been him with the green and white running down the field and then him with the big play chain on the sidelines.
He was early on in the year. He was top in the league in big plays, which me and my friends consider catches over 30 yards. He was at the top of the league in that. I don't know if he's still there. I would give him this. He's up there. When it comes to contested throws and when it comes to the deep ball, I'll put him right up there with Brian Burnham. Speedy B is the best receiver in the league, but I would put him up there. Anyway, he's having an amazing year.
Speedy B is the best receiver in the league.
Yeah.
So if you had to start your receiving core.
That's a different question.
Is it different? Yeah. Why is it different?
Because if I'm building a receiving core, that means I have to take everything else into consideration. The most dominant, best receiver in the league, and it's partly because of the system he plays in and all they ask him to do. He does at the receiving position, Speedy does more for his team than anybody else in the league. If I'm starting a receiving core and I got one guy, I don't know if he's the guy.
But wait, if you were starting your receiving core, wouldn't you want the guy who, by your own account, does the most? Wouldn't that be a good guy to start with? See, my question is Brandon Banks the best receiver in the league, or is Brandon Banks having the best year of receivers in the league?
That's a good point.
Because if I had to start, I would say potentially Drell Walker, potentially Brian Burnham, but their teams have not been good. They're not in the MOP consideration.
You know what my
for
best attribute is?
Keeping it real.
Other than I have tremendous feet, like maybe the best feet this country's ever seen.
Like,
but other than that, my best.
What do you mean best feet?
My feet.
Like your ladder drill skills are on point. Your feet through trash and football are good, or they're well manicured.
Well, when I walk between the stripes, there is no one in this country who had better feet than me in the history of this country.
Like, you have no bunions, or you have a good shuttle time?
No. What are we talking about? Like sandals, like walking sandals, great feet, manicure. Okay, anyway, attribute is humility. The reason I'm saying that is you're right. You make a great point, and I will strike that from the record, and I agree with you that Brandon Banks is having the best year. He might not be the best receiver. I agree with you. He's having the best year of a receiver, hands down.
Please, Lord God, don't allow Brandon Banks to hear this.
I know he'll come at us. Eh?
We are trying to compliment him, and somehow he's going to feel some type of way about it.
Yeah. Hey, Speedy, come on, man. When you're getting compliments, guys, honestly, you too. We have a bunch of, I won't say sensitive, because that's going to get people more mad. There's a lot of people that get bothered really easily, and it's usually people we're complimenting. And then if you don't like, you can't have everyone ranked number one at everything.
Is that what makes them great though?
What? No, hell no.
Really? So you don't ascribe to that? That you need a bit of a chip on your shoulder?
I think that's an excuse for someone that has a. And I'm not saying anyone we're talking about has this, but I think that's an excuse for someone who has a bad attitude that says, "Oh, that's you have to have a chip on your shoulder. That's part of what I." You don't have to have that. You can have it. And you don't need the best ones don't need that. It can be internal. It doesn't have to, you don't have to express the fact that you feel slighted every way. You think Tom Brady's great because he was a 6th-round pick and that's why he's been good all these years? No, he's just good because he's good. He doesn't that's not a part of it.
So you don't think Banks has short man syndrome?
Wow.
Speedy,
we're fans here. We are fans.
Based on his size and stature, he's always had people who have doubted, and that in the back of his mind, in the recess of his brain, he constantly has to be proving someone wrong, even when there's nothing to prove. Michael Jordan, literally the GOAT, the greatest to ever do it. Right, he is
LeBron's the GOAT, but anyway, other than that, go ahead, continue.
He is a noun, a verb, an adjective. People say so-and-so is the Michael Jordan of X.
Right.
That's how good he is. In his Hall of Fame speech, he spent most of it going at people who said he wasn't good. Going at the junior varsity coach that cut him from the team. Yeah, going at the high school guy who won all North Carolina instead of him. So it's out of
but
some.
That's Michael Jordan is just a little bit special in that way. You know that, DJ. Michael Jordan, as great as he is, no one ever talks about it, but Michael Jordan's a bit special. You could tell by his speech he's a bit special in that regard.
So you, throughout your career, never had, really? They don't think?
For sure.
They don't think a Canadian corner can get down?
For sure.
Oh, really? They think I'm undersized? Oh, they don't think I tackle? Run a sweep to my side. You never had that.
Well, if they ran a sweep to my side, they were probably going to get a first down. So, no. But, no. It's not that. I don't think you need to have that. I don't think that it's not something that can help you. I just feel like it does. It's not something that has to be. You don't have to bring it out. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to show it. Like it doesn't. It just could be within you. It doesn't matter. Anyway, bottom line is we were talking about Shaq Evans, and he's having a phenomenal year. And what Burnham's doing right now is off the hook. The catches he's making. If they were good or better, and they were in contention, what Brian Burnham has been doing on a national, if he was more on the national stage, it would be something that people would be talking a lot more about, and not just the last week. But are we going to talk about what happened in Toronto, or are we talking about receivers?
Yeah, we'll get there.
I know you're the boss and we go in your order, but we're talking about receivers, and there's been a major move here.
We'll get there. Shaq Evans talking about himself. He's doing a lot of work. Evidently, he thinks he's the best, and the way he's playing right now, it's hard to argue against it. First, let's talk about some tires and some tickets. A winning combo. Until October 26th, score a free pair of CFL regular season tickets and get up to 70 in the mail. That's right, a nice little rebate when you buy a set of 4 BF Goodrich tires at Cal Tire. Tickets are valid for any city and can be used in either the 2019 or 2020 CFL seasons. Check out caltire.com/CFL tickets for all the details. Cal Tire, proud to be the official tire retailer of the CFL in partnership with BF Goodrich, the official tire of the CFL. Before we go any further, we're talking a lot about Shaq Evans, if he's the best, if he's not the best. Who cares what we think? Let's hear what he thinks. Next on the Waggle, we holler at the guy who's wearing the big play chain, seems like, for most of the games, Shaq Evans.
And after no further ado, the man who you've been waiting for, Rider fans, have been waiting for him to appear on the Waggle podcast. They are tweeting us and asking for us to get him on this platform all the time. And he's here, Shaq Evans, the man who stays wearing the big play chain. Thank you for doing this, my man.
No problem, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
So let's actually start there. It seems like every time I put on a Riders game, you are making big plays and then telling us about it on the sidelines with the big play chain on. What's it like for you being the guy in Ryderville who's made himself a number one receiver?
I mean, it's a blessing, you know. I mean, it just shows, the hard work I put in this off season. That was my goal, was to become an all-star, to have 1,000 yards, and, to win a Grey Cup. And, I got 1,000 yards now, and as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be an all-star. So, it feels good, to have the hard work that you put in, all off season, finally come to fruition.
Well, I think it's certain you'll be an all-star. But let's not stop there. A couple weeks ago, into the cameras, you said best receiver in the league. Now you said, after your big game this weekend, best player in the league. You're putting it on tape. You really believe that. Why?
No, I didn't say best overall player. I didn't go that high. I just said I'm the best receiver. But, so I don't want to start any controversy with that. But, I feel like I'm one of the best players, in this league, and I definitely feel like I'm the best receiver in this league because, I've been consistently making big plays, all year, and I've come up big in clutch situations on final drives when we needed to score or needed a first down and things like that. So, and I think that factors into being one of the best players is, making the plays when you're supposed to make them and making them when your team needs them. And I've shown that I can do that this year.
See, that's my bad, because this week you just said best in the league, and I assumed you meant player and not receiver based on the way that you've been playing. Based on what you've been playing, people are saying, well, low-key, this guy could be an MOP candidate, you know, most outstanding player. The fact that your name is in that conversation, what's it mean to you?
Oh, man, just to have your name in that conversation is a blessing, you know, because that's how I pray, because, you know, being an MOP is like, you're basically, you know, the best player in the league, you know, because I know Bo Levi is a guy that's won it multiple times. And, you know, that's definitely something you always want, you always have in the back of your mind. It's obviously not something you focus on too much because, you know, you want to win and things like that. But just like I said, just to have my name mentioned in that is a blessing. And I'm just happy that I'm getting recognition, you know.
Those personal accolades come when you've had team success, and you guys certainly are. This year, you control your own destiny. The first in the West and first potentially overall is within reach. What's it been like seeing a team that had high expectations actually maybe even outperforming them?
It's great, you know, because, I mean, they said a couple weeks ago when we clinched our playoff spot, they asked me about it, and I'm like, you know, that's nothing. You know, making the playoffs isn't like a, you know, a huge thing for us. So, you know, we were worried about, you know, getting that one seed, and the fact that we're close to getting that is a testament to how talented we are, how hard we work each and every week. And I feel like we work harder than any team in this league. We're in the weight room every week and on the field extra every week as an offense and as a defense. And it just shows you that we're a hardworking team, you know, to have goals like that come to light.
Who's the biggest beast in the weight room on the team? Who's the one guy who you see what he puts up on the rack and you're like, I can't believe this guy's pushing this weight?
Bennett, Brian Bennett, our short yardage quarterback. He's in there. I mean, he putting all this, like, his, I'd be like, does your back hurt? Like, he putting so much weight on the squat rack. Whatever we're doing, whether it's bench, squat, hang clean, deadlift, he's lifting with the linemen damn near, so. Yeah, I would have to say he's definitely one of the biggest beasts in the weight room. He goes hard, pretty hard every single time you're in there.
Did you just admit, is a backup quarterback putting up more weight than you are?
Yeah. I mean, because I have to run more, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got to run, so I can't be putting, you know, heavy weight on my back because I got to run every play. So I got to take my legs, you know, some way. So, you know, he's in there, you know, going crazy, you know.
Let me talk to you about your starting quarterback and really the relationship that you guys have. It's a luxury that when you break the huddle, you know, if the play is dialed up to you to make a big play, you can trust the guy who's, you know, doing a three-step, five-step, seven-step drop can actually get you the ball. What's your relationship been like with Cody as he's evolved as a starter of the team throughout this year?
Yeah, just every week we've grown closer and closer and just gotten better and better, you know, on the field, because he understands, you know, where I'm going to be. I understand what he's thinking, and it's just gotten better every week, you know. And just talking about Cody, man, he's a great guy, a great player. He stayed prepared because, you know, during training camp, he didn't get a lot of first-team reps. But it's crazy because this first game against Ottawa was basically the first week that he got, you know, first-team reps, and he went out there and performed brilliantly. So it just shows you the work ethic he has, and it just forces you to be on your stuff, because, like, well, he's on his stuff and he's not even starting, so I gotta be on my stuff. So when it was finally his turn to start, we had all the confidence in the world that he was gonna go out there and perform well. And, you know, like I said, each and every week we've gotten better as an offense and just as me and him together.
I think confidence is the operative word, whether it's your coach and Dickinson or your quarterback and Cody, or, you know, Hughes in that defense and the playmakers on offense. You guys might be the swaggiest team in the league, and we see that with, you know, the chain after big plays. Talk to me about that process of making a big play and then getting that chain put around your neck.
Yeah, man. I think we're definitely one of the swaggiest teams in the league. I mean, we just play with so much confidence and so much, you know, swagger. But it's because of the hard work we put in. So we've earned that confidence. We've earned that swagger. And in terms of the big play chain, it was just something Manny Arsenault got made for us, and our weight training coach always preaches, you know, the saying boycott average, because, you know, we don't want to be average around here. So that's what it says on the chain. So anytime, you know, like you say, anytime you make a big play, you get in that chain, and so the more you get that chain, that's how you know you're balling, if you keep getting that chain.
I love that slogan, boycott average. The thing that really has surprised me, but I've rated about you guys celebrating with that chain, is it's not even the guy who's wearing it. The other guys around him when he's walking on the sidelines get so hyped and so excited. What's that mean? That it's all love, and even though one guy is being, you know, the center of attention, everyone is getting in on this celebration.
Yeah, man. It's just because one of our team slogan is team above self. So regardless of what's happening, it's never about the individual. It's always about the team. So, you know, even like, so when somebody does make a play, everybody's happy. So everybody gets happy and nobody's, you know, like, oh, I wish it was about me or nothing like that. It's just always about the team. So anytime somebody makes a play, it's just like, we're all happy because that means, you know, that means we're all winning, because at the end of the day, it's team above self. And we just want to win at the end of the day.
And not only are you guys happy, Rider Nation is happy. And I remember talking to Ricky Foley, former D lineman, all star in the league, who played and won a Grey Cup in Saskatchewan. And he said to me, "I wish every CFL player got the experience of playing in Regina, in Saskatchewan. It's next level." Mm-hmm. That's really the experience that you know. What makes it like that?
Yeah, I mean, this is, like I said, I've only been 2 years in this league, so this is all I know. And so I love it here, you know, the fans, the passion that they bring each and every week, and not only on game day, but during the week. Like, you just run into people, and they're just telling you, great game, and everybody just loves the Riders here. Like, there's nobody here that's not a Riders fan, obviously, unless you're from somewhere else. And, you know, but if you're here, you love the Riders, and we have a great facility, you know, a great coaching staff. So, you know, and then on game day, it's unreal. Like the atmosphere, the love that you get, and just the excitement, you know, surrounding the whole city is just unlike any other. Because I've been to every other city in the CFL, so it's nothing like being here. And I would never want to play anywhere else if I had a choice.
Having said all that, what would it be like to bring the Cup back there from Calgary when you're in the weight room getting those lifts up? Are you thinking and envisioning of that boycott average and of lifting some hardware at the end of the year?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's on my mind. I'm pretty sure on everybody's mind every day, especially just coming from where, you know, like guys like me, Swerve and Jay Will came from, you know, just last year being guys that were unknown and just rookies, just, you know, trying to make the squad. And then to be here just a year later, one of the best teams in the league and definitely one of the favorites to, you know, get to the Grey Cup is a blessing, and it just shows you the talent that we possess and the hard work that we put in to come this far in such a short amount of time.
Any doubt in your mind it's going to happen?
No, I don't think. As long as we're playing our best football, I don't think there's a team in this league that can stop us from, you know, winning games.
Well, he's boycotted average. He's put team over self, and the boy has balled out. Thank you, man, for spending the time with us. All the best and continued success.
All right, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Norco's great with twisting up the volume on your favorite tune, twisting up the party with a twisted tea. Made with real tea and a touch of lemon, twisted tea is the hard iced tea that goes down easy. So whether it's game day, beach day, or just the end of a work day, the good times start with a twisted tea. Twisted tea, good times with a twist. Davis, there's a very good chance Shaq Evans might be playing in the Grey Cup. Like, we may see him in Calgary Grey Cup week only when practices are open to the media. We're certainly not going to see the Argos practicing in Grey Cup week. They have been eliminated, and ever since they won the Grey Cup in Ottawa, things have been a mess. And so I actually wrote in our document, our production document to get ready for this podcast, question I had for you: have the Argos quit? Because they had the brakes beaten off them in BC. And now we have the news, as we're taping this. They made a decision. Bill Manning, who is the president of not just TFC but the Argos, is relieving Jim Popp of his duties. Jim Popp in the last year of a contract that was paying him reportedly $600K. No matter where they go next, was this the right decision? Was Jim Popp the issue in Toronto?
Well, they had bottom of the league talent.
Whoo!
So Jim Popp has been had a lot of success in this league, and with success you get extensions and you get rings and you get money, and it's all deserving. And when you have when you don't have talent and your team doesn't have success, and then this happens. And so that's, you know, that's really the reality of the business.
Here's my thing. I don't think players quit on a front office. I think they quit on a coach. And I think you saw a team with a lack of effort, lack of intensity, lack of care to get beat down by BC, who themselves have not been world beaters. I think Jim Pop's a real smart guy. I think he's brought a lot of great American talent to the league. He led this team when they won a Grey Cup a couple years ago. I don't think you get dumb overnight. My issue is you're saying they're devoid of talent, but coming into the year, they were active in free agency, and they made not huge splashes, but they made some moves. Now, let's look at those moves. Let's rewind. Brandon Bridge, not there anymore. Ian Wild, meh, it's been great. Darrell Walker, been very good. In terms of these are free agent guys.
But very good. Darrell Walker, very good. For the price and the return on investment, I'd say that I would not grade that. I'd grade that as a C move. Maybe even a C minus.
But he probably would have been better if they could get someone to give him the ball consistently.
That's irrelevant. Like, we're talking, if you're grading moves, you have to grade on how the move is played out. So you paid this guy way above market value, or above market value is what you're hearing, and he hasn't been the best receiver in the league, regardless of who his quarterback is. That's not, if you know the quarterback sucks, if your quarterback sucks, then don't sign a receiver, sign an offensive lineman or a running back.
True, but he's still top five in most receiving categories. Like, it's not like he's been terrible.
So grade the move then. My point is you have to grade it. You can't say he hasn't been terrible.
I think that's the one move where if you look back, you're like, well, thankfully we have him on our team, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be scoring any points. Like Alway, meh. Terrell Sutton, not on the team anymore. In fact, he's running the rock for the team that has the best record in the division.
Be fair, Jim didn't pay Terrell Sutton either, so I don't really care about that move because it didn't cost anything.
But true. But he's at some point they said we don't need you, and he's currently playing the position better than the guys that he has still on his team. You don't think so?
Disagree. They don't need him. Okay. And I think he's a great running back. Hamilton needs him. They don't need him.
Toby Antigua. Does that work out? Sean Lemon, not there anymore. Kevin Fogg. Mercer Timmis, not there. Chris Rainey, it's worked out. But
Chris Rainey was a good signing because he's kind of been a little bit rejuvenated. And if he might be one of the best guys on their team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My point is they signed a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if they had a plan for those guys, because more than half of them are quickly not. It's October 8th, and they're not on the team anymore.
Okay, so here's
rebut.
Okay, so here's what I say. I'm a big I'm an advocate of Jim, and I spent most of my career with Jim. And so if anyone in this league the guy in this league who has probably meant the most to me from, or has definitely meant the most to me from a personnel standpoint is Jim Pop. No doubt, I spent almost a decade with Jim. Got a lot of love for Jim. The reality is, in this situation right here, in a bubble, the Argos situation, you have to, in the CFL, you have to look at the American talent that has been found and brought in, and you have to grade that, because that's what you're drafting and you're drafting. So your draft and then the American guys you brought in that you found. So not signing Chris Rainey, a recycle from BC, or Tyrell Sutton, a recycle. Like, those guys, there's a million of those guys everywhere. You can find them. Like, those guys are both great, and there's lots of them, but that's not how personnel guys build their teams or turn their teams around or legacy or build the franchise, by grabbing recycled players from other CFL teams. Like, it's just, that's not how it works. So if you look, tell me, if we look at over the, how long was Jim there? 3 years? 4 years?
3 years.
Okay. So who are the American players, the import guys that have come in and that they found, and it's not just Jim, it's whoever is working with Jim and their personnel, that they found that have come in and have been major impact guys in this league?
I mean, Wilder was.
He was. He would be the one guy for sure. James would be. He was the rookie of the year, so we have to give James, American running back, though I don't know how dominant he's been, but he's definitely you'd give him a winning grade on that signing. But, like, look around at other teams. Other teams have guys that are like, wow, this guy's become a player in this league. Toronto? Who do they have? Who's on that roster that they signed in the last few years? It's like, damn, that guy's become a great CFL player or a really good CFL player.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And how about the draft? Who have they drafted over the last 3 years? In the last three drafts, who they drafted, I look and say, dang, that guy's a ratio breaker. That guy's a player.
Well, that's the other massive thing, is the Canadian talent, or lack thereof. Because
Where's the first overall guy? I don't even know who he is.
Their best Canadian.
No, who's the guy that went first overall this year? Yeah, you don't even know who he is. Shane Richards. I forgot about him. Does he even play? He must have got hurt. He's injured. That's not the GM's fault. But the guy's 350 pounds, it's probably not going to last in the CFL.
Yeah, out of this draft, Rob Smith and Curley Giddens Jr. are really the only guys you've gotten snaps from. But let's just talk about their Canadians, period. Their best Canadians are probably Lang on the D-line, on defense, and Declan Cross, your fullback. Like, those are your best Canadians. We don't have...
And those guys are very good at their position.
But we don't have an impact receiver. We don't have
Chris Van Zyl, one of the best offensive tackles in the league.
Yeah, they said goodbye. They let him go down the 401.
And the TSM player rankings had him number one Canadian in the league right now.
But that's what's damning is the decisions that you've made to bring guys into the fold, many of which haven't worked out, and many of which aren't there anymore. And then the guys you've allowed to leave, Chris Van Zyl, we're good, we don't need you. He goes and he helps the Ticats run game.
That was a financial thing as well. So we don't know what happened, you know, behind closed doors with whether Jim Popp had the resources to pay the salary or how they wanted to structure it. But
everything you're describing is the job.
I know, yeah, right? It is.
That's the job.
I know. It's for us to figure that out. You don't want to. Yeah, I mean, it's like you're trying to be. I'm trying to be fair. Exactly. Yes. And I don't know what's going on. So, but you know, I also have to be realistic and say, in any other sport, if you told me in Major League Baseball, the guy traded away the best player, I'm not going to say, yeah, well, was he allowed to pay him as much? Basically, it's too bad. Although I want to be fair, at the end of the day, it's really too bad. Get it done.
But football's not fair. Football's not fair.
No, you're right.
15-35 in 3 years. Right. So at the end of the day, with in a cap league where everyone has the same amount to spend.
Yeah.
When you're 20 games under 500, that's an issue. And so is it fair to say, well, at the time, we didn't think letting Chris Van Zyl go was a bad move. At the time, we didn't think Cody Fajardo, when he left and went to BC, was going to turn up and be a great quarterback. At the time, it's hard for us to criticize today when at the time we weren't criticizing those moves, because that's a bit of revisionist history. But also, that's the job. That's the job to project those things. And even in fairness, if Saskatchewan thought Cody Fajardo was this good, he wouldn't have been their backup to start the year. He would have been their starter. So that was found money for them as well. But ultimately, being able to project these things and manage that money is the job. And unfortunately, in Toronto, it has not worked out. I'm not necessarily sure that this Jim Pop is no longer there, that you bring in President X, GM X, and that's going to be a fix-all. I think there are more structural issues that team and that front office has to go under. But it's the first step, I suppose. Here's the good news: that in this league, it's been proven that you can turn the thing around pretty fast.
Doubt.
Jim Popp proved that first year in the job. They were 9-9, but they also won a Grey Cup. Am I getting a little ahead of my skis, a little ahead of myself, to say that this year we are going to have not only first-time starters, full-time guys taking the role as their own in the Grey Cup on both sides, we're also going to have first-time coaches in the Grey Cup for the first time. Am I a little too gassed up? Do I need to put a little more respect on Calgary's name, which would be the team that might throw a wrench in that?
You're not off base.
I feel a butt coming on. I feel a butt. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
No, you're not off base. It's gonna be Dane or Vernon in the East. Fairly certain, and that's a lock. In the West, Sask has a legit shot. And we'll leave it at that.
How about we leave it at this? you've heard us break down what has gone wrong with the Argos in their front office. Let's hear from the Argos on the next step on their path to success.
Thank you, everyone, for coming today. Yesterday, I had a conversation with Jim Popp about his future. His contract expired at the end of this year, and he agreed it was in the best interest of the franchise to relinquish his general manager duties. He will consult with us till the end of the season and be available to Michael and John, as we move forward. I am very pleased to introduce Pinball Clemens, as everyone affectionately calls him Pinball, as our new general manager for the franchise. John Murphy will join us as well as vice president of player personnel. And Pinball needs no introduction, so I'm going to turn it over to him right now.
Well, pardon the first expression, but even seeing your brilliant faces, this is not where I want it to be today. I first want to pay tribute to Jim Popp, who is an icon in our league. He has brought us a championship 2 years ago and has been one of the best representatives of our league in a long time. And so I first want to start there. Further to that, I want to say that we have to put our big boy pants on. There are days like this, and I'll ask you to excuse me for not smiling as much as normal, but there was also an opportunity here to try to, again, try to reciprocate to our fans some of what they've given me. And so when I was asked the first time, I said no. And then I said no again. Then I decided that this was bigger than me. Most everything is bigger than me, but it was certainly bigger than me, and maybe I needed to sort of look a little bit further and see if I could make a contribution, if I could help. The concept here was actually creating culture again, that ethos of excellence, if you will. And so creating culture, I think our goal here is to build bridges, not fences. And I can't tell you how passionate I am about this team and this league, and how passionate I am about our fans. And it is my goal to do my level best to make sure that we are not just a competitive team on a consistent basis, but we want to return to being a championship team. Now, we've had some championships here. As a matter of fact, I think we have as many as anybody in the last 30 years since I've been here. I think we have 6 championships. I think Calgary probably has 6 or maybe 7. I think there are 6 as well. And so we've won as many championships, I believe, as anybody else, but we haven't had the consistency between. And I was surprised when I started to look back. We haven't had very many runs where we've had 500 or better seasons in a row. I think we had, and so with that, we really want to be a consistent team as well. We understand that this is a building process, right? We are not going to make promises, right? We're going to work hard and build this back, right? We need to build the championship team. That doesn't happen overnight. We have to have a foundation in place first. When I look at the great teams that we've had in the past, right? We had guys that are still in this community today, right? Who have families who've grown in there, and so it really is growing those steady leaders. John Wooden said, "No written word, no spoken plea can teach our youth what they should be, nor all the books on all the shelves. It's who the teachers are themselves. The number one determinant of a child's success in the classroom is the teacher that stands in the front of that classroom, the leader. Leadership is important. And so it is having those leaders who are not just founded on the team, but many of them who are founded in the community, who are committed to the team and are willing to go through that struggle, through the rough times. And so we need those guys who will identify themselves. We'll have to bring some of those guys on board. And this is a building process. It won't happen overnight, and we understand that, but we are committed to the ultimate success of that. For me, I understand that I'm pretty useless by myself. I can't do much, right? The reason that we're going to do this is because of those players who are in the locker room, and some of them who are 2-11 right now are going to be part of that championship, part of that turnaround, and they will have endured, and they'll know what one side is like. And we're going to bring some other guys that are going to be coming to the table who know what those great seasons are like and know what championships are like. And it's that blend of things as we move on. Don't know exactly how it will go, and I can't design that, but that's part of the fun.
And, you know, to me, I could not think of a better person to lead this franchise going forward with the winning pedigree that he has, the ability to motivate, the ability to bring unity and to show the path forward than Pinball Clemens. And the one thing he said to me as well during this time was he needs a really strong player personnel guy. And I have spent the last year meeting as many people as I could who've had success in the CFL and who've been around the CFL long enough. And John Murphy's name came up a number of times. He had been consulting with us a bit with Jim over the last 6 months or so. And Pinball and I had talked about that. John comes from the school of John Huffnagel and Chris Jones, and was very successful with Calgary and with Saskatchewan. And I think this is going to be an incredible 1-2 punch, because I think their strengths will actually amplify the franchise going forward. But in terms of the leadership, this is going to be Michael's team. And, you know, I know what I don't know. What I do know is I do know what winning franchises look like. And we were not looking like a winning franchise. And with his pedigree, he's got 4 Grey Cups, 3 as a player, 1 as a coach. You know, John has 2 with Calgary. And we need that leadership. And 2020, in a lot of ways, folks, starts today. And I'm incredibly excited. I got to tell you, this man loves the Argos. And for me, when I thought about the future of this franchise, it in some ways goes back to it was a no-brainer that I don't think there's anyone better suited to be the leader for this franchise going forward than Pinball Clemens.
You know, I didn't need a job. I have a wonderful foundation that I love, and I like make a living talking to people. I talk and they pay me, right? And so, like, I'm not in this job because I need a job. I got a bunch of jobs, and I don't need. I'm here because I love it. And I care about our fan base, right? And we want to make it better. And it's not going to happen overnight, right? But we're going to do our best to infuse that very same passion to every player that walks through that door.
Fans, Bel Air Direct is the official home and car insurance of the Canadian Football League. They have been a proud partner for 3 years now, and offer exclusive and unique ways to take in CFL content and experiences. Check out tsn.ca/Bel Air Direct for access to football content, such as exclusive interviews with players and coaches and other fun stuff. Well, Bel Air Direct has some exciting news. They have launched their Coach for a Day contest that will give you a chance to win an all-inclusive VIP trip to the Grey Cup and see what it's like to be a CFL coach for a day. The winner will get a chance to see what it's like to be a CFL coach with an all-inclusive VIP trip for 2 to the Grey Cup. That includes two tickets to the game, accommodation, official gear, and more goodies. You will also get to experience what it's like to be a coach in the league for a day and be featured on the big screen during the 107th Grey Cup. Simple, right? Here's how to enter. Record a video of yourself giving a pep talk to your favorite CFL team and upload your video at coachforaday.ca before November 3rd for your chance to win. Thanks to our friends at Beller Direct, the official home and car insurance of the CFL.
And lastly, this is the last pod before CFL trade deadline. It's normally super, super quiet, but this year is weird because you have some backups in some important roles, which means the cupboard is a little bit bare in terms of veteran QBs behind them in the event that we see another injury. And this has been the year for QBs to go down, whether it's the CFL or the NFL. Do you see a move at the deadline with whether it's Winnipeg or Edmonton or Hamilton making a move to get some security at the position, given they're a bit vulnerable in the quarterback
room? I said this, we talked about it last week, and I said there's definitely going to be a move with Winnipeg at the deadline. They have to. Now, when I said that, people who retweet things, I said there has to be, meaning that they should do this. Not saying that I know what they're going to do. I'm saying I believe that's going to happen. It should happen. There's a difference. Now, that being said, I believe there's got to be a move out of Winnipeg. They don't have a competent backup. They're really not even sure about their starter. And there are multiple veterans, guys who have won games, sitting on benches for teams right now that they could get some assets for. Michael Shea has publicly said they're not looking for a quarterback. They're going to stay status quo. I don't know if that's reality or truth, or maybe he's changed his mind. He should be making that move, whether he does or not. Yet to be seen, but I believe that that's the one team that I believe has to make a move.
Who's the most likely guy you think gets moved in terms of a competent backup?
Zach Collaros. Zach Collaros is a no-brainer for me. It doesn't make sense why you would not trade Zach Collaros. Like, it's a done deal. Toronto, trade him. You're not going to play him. And Winnipeg, you need him, and he's a rental player. If they don't do that trade, both sides are insane. I don't understand how it doesn't work. I cannot figure it out. And I know the salary structure for Zach, so I don't see how Toronto doesn't just get rid of him. They're not bringing him back next year. And Winnipeg, you need a guy. He could win you three games and get you to the Grey Cup. Why not?
If I'm Toronto, any of the three quarterbacks I have, feel free. Make me your best offer. Because they're not going to help me much this year. We're just basically counting snaps until the offseason. So you want to give me anything for one of these guys? Feel free.
The fact they said that, though, the fact that Michael Shea came out and said, no, we're not looking for a quarterback. We're going to stay the way we are. I got a lot of respect for what they do. If he's not able to backtrack on that and say, you know what, I changed my mind, I was wrong, or I've changed my thought process, I think he's making a huge mistake, and I think that would be a stubborn move on their part.
Ultimately, whose decision is it? Is it his, or is it really Kyle Walters?
I think they work together. I think they work in conjunction.
Speaking of working together, working in conjunction, my last thing for you, the objectionable conduct, the thing I need you to weigh in on, I know you saw this because it was viral and it was fun. The BC Lions offense and defense had a little dance-off. Coach Clay Brooks keeping it loose as they try and make a push for the playoffs. And I actually think, and we haven't talked about this, but BC Edmonton lining up to be one of the biggest games of the year. BC playing better football than Edmonton right now. They may not get in.
You say biggest games of the year?
Yeah, left.
Okay.
I mean,
you're a company guy, eh?
Dude, the loser.
Yeah, it's a huge game.
The loser may lose his
they're done.
Job.
Yeah, ask
that coaching staff. It's the biggest game for them. Because both of those teams expected to make the playoffs, and they both cannot.
If they lose, they're done, yeah.
We had a little dance-off, offense, defense. I actually think, and I don't really want to say this until live mic, I think the defense won. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I love the fact that coach is keeping it light, keep loose. But in terms of a dynamic on a football team, does it matter if the offense and defense are one? Or can you have a little bit of vision? So I'll give you an example. Locker rooms. Some coaches have their locker rooms. Offense over here, defense over here. Offensive line sits together, quarterback sits together. And others, it's everyone is together because we want this to be a homogeneous mixture, a melting pot of football success. Does it matter if teams are cliqued up or if they are one unit?
The majority of teams that I've been on, they're not one. Defense is one group, offense is another group, and they're really separated. And that doesn't mean there's not some intermingling, but yeah, I don't think it matters. As long as you both are pulling for each other and working together and trying to get it done, and the leaders on the team are connected, meaning the core veteran group of leaders, offense and defense collectively, those guys are meshing. The other groups are not usually going to be together. They're separate units.
That sounds a bit sacrilegious, but it's almost like they're two separate teams.
Yeah.
That are independent contractors that just happen to share the same field. And in other sports, that would seem odd, like when hockey defenders talk to the forwards, so on and so forth. But when the offense is doing its thing, defense, you guys aren't really paying attention, cheering.
Nothing I can do about it.
Talking about adjustments, talking about what you're seeing, so on and so forth. The real thing, and I talked to Posey about this earlier in the year, about who's got the aux in the locker room? Who's got the aux cord? Who's in charge of the music? Because that actually can be a divisive issue. He says in the Owls locker room, VA has the aux. That's the amount of trust they have. He's the guy playing the music. Were you the aux guy when you played?
Not a chance.
No.
No.
I see you being the music guy because you're a control freak.
I definitely wasn't the aux guy. No. I wasn't. In my younger days, I didn't have the juice when I cared about music.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the juice to get the cord. They wouldn't entrust in me that power. And then when I was older, when I was a leader on the team and had the power, I didn't care about the music.
Care.
I was busy in the hot tub trying to get these old bones warmed up.
There's this big talk in the Leafs. Oh, who's going to be the captain? Who's going to be the C? No, no, no. The real dude is the guy who has the aux cord. That's
the real
dude,
C.
Who is really, really respected. When defense and offense fights, it often can be over that music. And it's almost by position group. Because, you know, there's some offensive line guys who want some country. There's some special teams guys who want some rock. The receivers and the DBs want some trap music.
Trap music. What would be if there was a type of music that would describe us, DJ, in our pod? What would it be?
Some R&B soul.
Yeah, because we get those smooth tones to help your day.
Why don't you sing us off with some R&B soul?
I'm not gonna do that, DJ.
You're just the dude in Boyz II Men who talked with a deep voice and got 1/4 of the money and didn't sing.
Shout out to the Toronto Argonauts and their search for a new leader. On that note, this is The Waggle. I'm DJ Chez Love, and that's DJ, just DJ.